CBSI in the World, I'm John Batchelor with Mary Kissel. Mary Kissel's former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, now Executive Vice President for Stevens Incorporated, reflecting upon her experience and her travel with the Secretary of State and the abilities and skill sets of the State Department, called upon to deal with adversaries and also with rivals, with trading partners, with disputes with allies. Right now, we're told from the Wall Street Journal, President Biden and President Xi Jinping spoke by phone Thursday night last in an effort to ease hostilities between the two powers and reset lines of communication after recent high-level meetings were described by U.S. officials as unproductive. The call was the second time the leaders have spoken since Mr. Biden took office. I'll stop there, Mary, because I believe in a very careful way the Wall Street Journal report points to the remarks by Wang Yi, chief foreign diplomat of China, the intemperate remarks. Is that a diplomatic word? Yes. The intemperate remarks by Wang Yi to Mr. Blinken that happened in the territory of the United States, in Alaska, many months past. At this point, how do you see the conversation between China and the United States? Are we rivals? Are we adversaries? Are we partners? Are we struggling to find a role? How do you see it, Mary?
Well, it's very important for our policymakers of either party to tell the truth about what they see in the world, because you cannot make sound policy based on a fiction. And the Biden administration has refused to describe the nature of the regime in Beijing accurately. They do not call General Secretary Xi Jinping General Secretary. They call him President, which implies that he's elected. They don't talk about the Chinese Communist Party. They talk about the Chinese government. And so at a very fundamental level, their rhetoric denies the nature, the essential nature of the regime that holds power in Beijing. Now, why is that important? It's important because communists care about language. And from the very beginning of this administration, they sensed weakness because Secretary Blinken and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan were tempering their language. And so they walked all over them in Anchorage. They recently walked all over John Kerry when he went to China. Instead of meeting him in person, John Kerry flew to China for a Zoom call, and they continue to humiliate them. And that is disturbing on a number of levels. It's disturbing because it shows that Xi Jinping and his cadres have taken the measure of this administration. It gives them propaganda victories, but it also tells them strategically that if there were ever a time to expand their power, whether it's at home or in their near abroad or even in further flung shores, now would be the time to do it. And it's unfortunate because this administration inherited an enormous amount of leverage, whether on the human rights front, where we had declared genocide and crimes against humanity in Xinjiang, on the trade front, where we had imposed real conditions on Beijing, in multilateral institutions, where we had rallied many, many countries to our side to ensure that China played by the rules in numerous fora. And I think what you're seeing right now is all of that leverage is getting thrown away, and that's very, very dangerous.
Afghanistan, the Wall Street Journal reports, without explanation, the White House didn't explicitly say whether the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan was part of the discussion. It occurs to me, Mary, that this is a puzzle the American people once solved. Is China looking to take advantage of the U.S. withdrawal in Afghanistan and throughout the region or not? And is that because China has Belt and Road ambitions? Is that because China is expanding its reach, its fist reach into Central Asia?
Well, just to link it to my prior comments, John, let's be clear. Communist China is an enemy of the United States and the free world. And so they will take any opportunity to humiliate us or to expand their power. And absolutely, they're looking to take advantage of our withdrawal in Afghanistan. They already did it on the propaganda front. Now they'll try to do it in more tangible ways. whether that's access to bases that we abandoned in Afghanistan or access to critical minerals that they would like to exploit or ways to link Afghanistan to their Belt and Road, which is something we've discussed on prior shows, they'll do it. And, you know, it's amazing to me to see this administration waffle and say, well, in some respects we'll cooperate with China, in others we'll compete, in others we'll confront. Well, again, that kind of weak language not only misleads the American people, but it leads to muddled policy. If the Biden administration would just come clean and say it's a communist totalitarian regime that is the enemy of the United States and the free world, that would lead them to very different kinds of policies, very different conclusions. And so I think you see that in Afghanistan, where they didn't appreciate what a sudden withdrawal would mean, not just for Afghanistan, but for the strategic picture in that entire region.
In conversation with Europe, Mary, recently, people are being very generous about the Afghanistan fiasco, saying we're strong allies. This remarks from Germany and France and London especially. But the puzzle here is, what is the Biden policy towards China, towards the conflict zone of Eurasia? Do you have a sense of the Biden policy, or is it too early to hope for that? Does that emerge in time with actions, not words?
The policy is to muddle along and not to tell the truth. Because if you told the truth, you'd call them for what they are, and they don't. And so what you're left with are remnants of the Trump administration policy of continuing to speak about human rights, although they haven't added any pressure to what we had imposed in the prior administration, to keeping the tariffs in place and yet not being clear about why they're doing that or what they hope to achieve. And then on the other hand, sending senior officials to talk to their counterparts, which represents to me a slide back into the dialogues of the early to mid 2000s, which only accrued to China's advantage because, you know, Beijing would love us to just talk and talk and talk while they advance their agenda. That benefits them, not us. And so is there a policy? No, there is no policy. But again, you can't have a sound policy without identifying what you're dealing with. And that is something they refuse to do.
Do you connect the phone call in our last minute, Mary? Do you connect the phone call on Thursday night, which we're told was late in the evening from the treaty room at the White House residence, because that would have been noontime in Beijing? Do you connect that phone call to Afghanistan and the unhappiness of the American people?
You could. And, you know, we should also make clear that it's not bad for the president of the United States to talk to the general secretary of China. Every president of either party has, you know, connected with their counterpart in Beijing over the last four decades. That's not necessarily bad. The question is, what was the true content of the call? And are we starting to take a harder line? Or was President Biden trying to figure out face-saving ways where we can, you know, again, return to quote-unquote dialogue, so that the United States can pretend that we don't have to deal with communist China and a lot of the very difficult choices that they are forcing us to make in multilateral organizations on the seas of the South China Sea and elsewhere? We have to confront what this regime is, and we have to make hard decisions about it. That's what's in the interest of the American people and our safety and security.
Mary Kissel, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, now Executive Vice President Stevens Incorporated. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.